now when we want to understand our mediocrity. And on the whole, don't you say our race performs very, very mediocre? Nothing extraordinary? Oh, we can box. I know that. We can run a sprint, Jesse Owens. But I don't know too many who made that long run. But that quick get up and go like the rabbit, we got that down pat. And we can entertain people. But even that's becoming mediocre. Because we are coming more like that town that is Khabutha. Bad. I remember when the people we call African Americans or blacks was not as bad as they are today. But thanks be to Allah, to Almighty God, that is. We are coming away from that, you know. I think we're about at the it climaxed, I think. That's what I mean. I think that kind of mind and makeup has climaxed, and we are getting away from it, but there's still too much of it still with us that the late 60s and the 70s brought on. It carried over into the 80s, and the 80s really brought on a bad time. 81, 82. Now, just in 83, we're trying to kind of sobering up. All over now. That's good. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. But the point is, excellence on the part of society, whether it be industry, government, or something else, does not come before there is moral excellence on the part of that society. We read a lot about the fall of Rome, the fall of the great empire. We read little about their rise, right? Believe me, they didn't rise like they fell. They fell because of moral deterioration. Moral deterioration set in, and that brought on their fall. They rose because of moral interest. Moral interest is the climate that you need for any growth in human society. Moral interest. Without any moral interest, you can't have any growth. Do you think Japan could be giving America all of this industrial competition if it didn't have some strong cultural and moral discipline? I've been over there. Those Japanese, clean living people. I was surprised to see how clean that town was. Tokyo, big old town like New York, clean. Clean as it can be. I'm speaking from first-hand knowledge. People so mannerable. Meet each other, greet each other so courteously. That's Japan. So they look for technical reasons for Japan's competition. Why don't you look for the moral reasons? Also, I'm talking to the industrialists of America. Why don't you also look to the moral reason for Japan's accelerated growth in industry? God has told us, and believers trust their Lord. He says where there is corruption, immorality, lowness, vulgarness, you can't expect from that community any excellence. They're going to have mediocrity. We've been talking about faith and the great role that faith plays in the life of people in society. We went so far as to compare the force of faith with the force that holds the earth up. and the other heavenly bodies. And that wasn't our invention. We were merely sharing with you what we found in the Holy Scripture. And it was very wonderful. I still feel the joy in me from that experience. Praise be to Allah. And we mentioned that faith is something that is generated by concern. If you don't have no concern, you can't have anything. A baby has faith in its mother. Why? Because it had concern. It was brought forth from the womb and body of his mother into a world that made it have concern. A new situation. Baby was very comfortable in the womb of his mother. But when it was thrown into a different situation, it got worried. And his mother responded to his needs. And because of that, the baby grew in faith. Isn't that right? Yes. Yes. See? Well, we know these bodies that move about in the universe. They don't manage to hold themselves in balance until they are thrown out. When they are thrown out on their own, then they manage to hold themselves in balance, right? And they got a whole lot of sense. They say, well, first, what I should do is have faith in my own form. And they make their own form the axle of their activity. Is that not right? And because they make their own form the axle of their activity, they're held in space. They don't fall. And they get an orbit, right? They find an orbit. And they orbit around the greater one among them. You who have studied something about astronomy or the heavenly bodies, I'm sure you understand clearly. You can see the picture. Yes. Rotation and evolution. They rotate upon their own axle, right? And the biggest body among them caused that rotation to form revolution or evolution, right? Yes. We say revolution. I like the term evolution. Because a combination of the two enable both to come out of that mass, like the earth, right? Yeah. If the earth was just rotating and didn't have no sun, it wouldn't have any evolution. All right, it ain't going to get too heavy for you. Don't worry, it's light. This is light talk. Tell a man something heavy, he'll never lift a fly. Yeah, yeah. That's another thing I learned from Elijah Muhammad. He would always talk to you in a way to make you feel that it ain't no big thing for you. You can handle it. And the world talked down our ability. And that's how come Elijah Muhammad was successful. He talked up our ability. Say, you can handle it. Now, you know, there's a limit to that. We don't want to lie ourselves out of reality. But you do need a little positive talk. You don't need too much negative talk. Ain't no good a whole lot of negative talk. Yes. So we find that this world we live in is really a world of signals. And it is signaling to our conscience, to our mind, to our vision, to our insight, messages all the time. But Allah Most High says in the Quran, but most people go on heedless. They don't pay no attention to him. Somebody has paid attention to him. And that's how come they're up and we down. And we are Muslims now. And we have a source of knowledge that's an authority in our life. The revealed word of God, who is Allah. His book, the Quran, that I have right before me now. So our world, our big world, very complex, made up of so many things. All these things and their workings are so involved. We can never get all out of it that's in it. Not in one lifetime, not in 100 lifetimes. So it's a constant labor of man on earth to extract from the outer environment the tools that he needs to make his life better. Right? Yes. So we look at this big universe, and the first thing we should think of is what? Concern. Concern. You don't have no concern, you have nothing. Show me people that's failing at something. Their concern is low or non-existent. Show me the people that's moving with something. Their concern is great. Oh, yes. The Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, he said, none of you can be a believer until your desires follow what I've come to you with. What is your desire? Expression of a concern. That's what it is. Desire points to a concern. Now, maybe the concern hasn't registered on you, but it's there. Yes. If I have a desire to eat, if I haven't made a form the habit of being a pig, then that's my system telling me a need has to be served. That's a concern. Now, sometimes, we have another concern on our mind, so we ignore that need, right? And after a while, it becomes critical. Eventually, it's going to become a conscious concern. And we tell somebody, look, man, I'm sorry, I got to go, man. Done got critical now. So life is concern. People have no concern, dead. How can we live with concern? When we have faith, faith enables us to live with concerns. People with little or no faith, their concerns destroy them. Their concerns despair, make them despair. Their concerns make them corrupt, make them give up on the desire to live a decent life. But people of faith, they can live with their concerns, like that baby whose need was answered by mama. And because his needs was answered over and over again, the baby grew in faith. I don't care how poor we are, how bad our physical circumstances are. If we still recall how we've managed so far in life from our toddling age, adolescent, young men and women, till now, if we still recall those years with an appreciation for whatever help was given us to enable us to survive or to go through it and manage to be here now, We have faith. Those who appreciate what have been done for them have faith, because appreciation is what generates faith. It revives faith even when faith goes down. You recall what others have done for you. You recall the circumstances that you were put in and how God came to your rescue and you thought it was all over. And faith is generated. Oh, yes. And if it's dying or dead, it's rekindled, brought back to life again by recalling a situation and good thing that occurs that demand of you that you don't give up trusting. Yes. Oh, yes. That's the strength we need. Now, when you trust your own makeup and begin to revolve around your own axle, then you are appreciating your own substance. You're appreciating your own constitution. This world made us look down on our own substance. This world made us disrespect, despise our own constitution. So how could we hold ourselves in any orbit when we couldn't even rotate? Then Allah comes with the words of the Quran. Allah comes with His word, and He says, "And I have made your forms, and I have made them most excellent." Allah comes along and He says, behind those who says man is born in sin, or made in sin, Allah comes along and He says, "And surely I've made every creature noble and excellent. And surely I have dignified all the children of Adam." That's the words of Allah. I'm giving it to you as He. I'm not adding a thing or taking away a thing. Direct quotes. Praise be to Allah. This is wonderful. Oh, yes. And then the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, giving his on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount address. But we know it's not called Sermon on the Mount like the one that Jesus gave. It is called his farewell address. He was giving his farewell address and he told the people, he said, "I don't know if Allah will allow me to be with you another year to attend this ritual, the Hajj." And he began telling them things that were very vital, very important, not only for that time, but the time to come. That was his major sermon. In fact, the only one I think we have in full text. And the Prophet included in among the issues, he included the issue of the dignity of God's creatures. I believe it was Du Bois who said, 1,300 years after the Prophet in this sermon, "The issue of the 20th century will be race." He wasn't a prophet in the context of Scripture, not Quran, but his prediction came true. No issue in the 20th century is more pronounced than the issue of race. But let's see what Prophet Muhammad said. Peace be on him. Prophet Muhammad says, calling the people over and over again to the seriousness of his sermon. He says, "Oh God," say people, "have you heard me? and they would bear witness, we heard. Then he would say, oh God, you are my witness that I have delivered your message. That's what he was saying repeatedly during this major talk, which tells us at that time he was summarizing his mission, because he kept requiring of them that they acknowledge that he was giving them the word that God had charged him with. And whenever they said, yes, you have delivered it, he said, God, be my witness. Allah, be my witness that I have delivered your message. Isn't that wonderful? He required of the people to bear witness, but he asked Allah to be the witness. Oh, yes. Why? Because the people just might forget. They just might forget. And they must have forgotten to sit in Egypt, to sit in Arabia, to sit in the Islamic centers of the world, and hear and know the inhuman, brutal things that were going on in America against the people that had been written off as subhuman by the European man, and not come out and speak against it, and even shed blood if they had to. They must have forgotten that major address called the last or the farewell sermon. Prophet Muhammad says, here it is, O people. He said, there is no superiority of a white over black, or a black over white, or an Arab over a non-Arab, or a non-Arab over an Arab. The only superiority is in discipline before God. That's what he said. Has been preserved since that time, exactly as he gave it. Praise be to Allah. I hope I don't hold you too long today, because I thought of the hours a long time, and I held you last time. I said, that's not good. So I pray Allah I can do it quicker. Now, dear beloved people, we have to understand the constitution of our own substance. We're going to revolve around it. We don't want to revolve around it as a self-promoting hypocrite, self-seeking fool. No. If we're going to revolve on our own axle, we want that to be a dignified activity. And it's only dignified when the force is centered internally. The spending body, where do you think the force is centered? The force is centered within. The mass is turning around and around. The pressure is bearing toward the inside, right? Yes. They have an experience they call a demonstration of centrifugal force, where you take a bucket of water and you spin around with it. And the water stays in the bucket because the tendency is for the water to go out, right? The tendency is for the water to go out. Now, if you spin a top, the tendency is different. The tendency of the top is to come inside, right? Yes. If you spin the top, the tendency of what's spinning in the top is to come inside the sphere of rotation.